Caskill v. Northern Trust, Mr. Krislav.
Good morning, Your Honor. Dana Caskill wrote a check out to Martin Livingston and Sterling Limited. It was endorsed by Dr. Stephen Shook and put into his personal account. That check was paid by Bank of America and by the defendant, Northern Trust Company. The court below held that the check was not properly payable, but nonetheless held that as they entered summary judgment rather than letting the case go to the fact finder, finding that loss causation was not met and that the plaintiff had ratified the payment by merely receiving some payments basically over the transom. We believe, Your Honor, that this is the loss causation should have been sent to a jury, left for the jury to decide. And on the ratification, this is a...
But I don't see how the endorsement would have done anything for your client. That's, of course, the causation issue.
Well, certainly if the money had gone to MLS, she has the ability to argue that MLS would have had to have the ability to pay her back her money. The money would have been invested and she might have gotten
that.
It back.
MLS would have given the money to Shook.
No, MLS might have had an MLS's obligation to Shook was never actually determined. They had some negotiations, but that apparently was never concluded. And it appears that transaction...
I don't understand you. Forrester is an MLS. What was his position at MLS?
He was some agent of theirs. Clearly he was an MLS person.
Right.
The check was given to...
And it was he who gave the check to Shook.
Yes, and Shook was...
Well, if Shook had said, oh, I want it endorsed or something like that, then Forrester would have endorsed it.
Shook was supposed to put the money into an MLS account. Instead of doing that, he...
Look, the point is, what difference does it make whether Forrester gives the check to Shook
with or without
an endorsement?
Because there's no indication in the record that MLS would actually
MLS
have paid the
Forrester,
money.
MLS is Forrester, right?
Well, Forrester is related to MLS. Well,
he's not related to MLS.
He's an agent.
MLS is a company. Forrester apparently is one of its principals.
When the bank investigator...
Couldn't Forrester have endorsed the check?
He could have, but he didn't.
But what difference does it
make? The difference, Your Honor, is that there would have been a transaction under which Shook was supposed to receive cash from MLS. Here, there was never established that...
But what difference does it make? As I say, if Shook had said, look, I want an endorsement...
To him personally.
Would have endorsed him.
Not necessarily. There's no showing that he would have endorsed
Forrester
over him personally.
Forrester wanted him to have the money, so if an endorsement that is required to get him the money, he'll endorse it.
Well, we're presuming that. That's
why
not?
Why wouldn't he? He wants Shook. MLS,
because
the person of Forrester, wants Shook to have the money.
When the bank inquired, sent its investigator, its investigator's report said that there were dealings between MLS and Shook, but those hadn't been completed, and apparently were never completed, that would have had Forrester endorse the money over to Shook personally. That never occurred.
What difference does it make?
Because if the money had never been endorsed to Shook, the money could have only gone to MLS.
But Forrester, who is MLS, wants Shook to have the money. So if an endorsement is necessary, if the bank said, oh, you didn't endorse it, then Forrester would endorse it, and everything would be the same.
That presumption is for the fact finder, Your Honor.
No, I mean, but what is the argument that, given that Forrester wants Shook to have the money,
the argument
is... Well, let me finish. He would balk at having to endorse it.
There's no evidence that he would have endorsed it at that time.
Why wouldn't he have?
Because, according to the bank investigator, the dealings between Shook and MLS had not been completed to enable him to have earned $250,000. that part of the transaction was missing. We can conjecture that way, but that was, with all due respect, that was for the fact finder. If there was to be such a presumption, perhaps, we don't agree, but according to the bank's own investigator, that had never reached completion. Here, we have, and it occurred to me on the way over to court, Your Honor, because it's really not in anything below, this is an issue where the ratification is such a draconian result based on one case, two cases involving commercial, purely commercial transactions. It seems to me, Your Honor, that the best approach would be for this court to refer the matter under Circuit Rule 52 to the Illinois Supreme Court to determine whether ratification would apply in a transaction like this. Because basically, what is the rule that we're supposed to, what should somebody have told Ms. Caskill when she gets some checks basically over the transom? They're not with respect, they're not payment on the note. MLS has never said it's going to pay her note plus the $250,000 plus 8 amount, 8%. They've indicated that they might try and get her some payment up to the principal, but that's it. They're basically just acknowledging that they're liable too. The fact is, the bank messed up, and MLS is responsible as well. And the mere fact that this woman...
just looking for a deep-pocket defendant, even though you'd be just as badly off if the bank had refused the check.
If the bank had refused the check, her money would still be in her account.
No, it wouldn't, because Forrester wanted Shook to have the money.
Conjecture, Your Honor.
That's not conjecture.
It is conjecture.
Why would he send Shook the check if he didn't want Shook to have the money?
It was supposed to be deposited into an MLS account. If Your Honor wants to look beyond that and say, well, he had intended the guy to get it eventually, there's no certainty that he would have endorsed that check because it's not in the record that he would have endorsed the check. If he had wanted to, he might have, but he didn't. Here, this is a case where the bank, which even Judge Norgel held, had improperly paid on this check, that the bank is looking for an out. This is where the bank even, their first line of defense was, she's not our customer. We don't owe her any duty at all. It's outrageous. This was the proceeds of her husband's life insurance. Her husband was murdered in New Orleans. This was all she had. She received the $250,000, and she was going to loan it to MLS. The bank paid on a wrong endorsement, clearly a wrong endorsement. In fact, it's probably Bank of America who really is the liable party here, because the Northern Trust told them they had paid on a wrong endorsement, and they had to make the Northern Trust fold for any liability here, including the defense, which is why Mr. Dietrich is here. The fact is, this is a bank looking for an escape hatch, and it's a pretty rotten escape hatch. At the very least, if before the court should adopt this rule, this is a rule that it's unlikely the Illinois Supreme Court would endorse in a consumer transaction where there's been a miss, the payment on an inappropriate endorsement. And so we think that the best approach, number one, would be to say it should be sent back to the fact finder. And number two, if the court is inclined, because I think that this rule is not certain, this is a case that should be sent to the Illinois Supreme Court for advice on how they would rule or what the law is on this question. Okay. I reserve the rest of my time
Thank
for a rebuttal if I could.
Thank you, Mr. Trader. Yeah, go ahead.
Good morning. May it please the court. Let me start with the causation question that Your Honor spent most of the time on during my opponent's argument. In fact, you're exactly right. Forrester, who admittedly is an agent of MLS, clearly intended Shook to have the check. He sent Shook the check right away after receiving it from Caskill. It was part of a business deal that he was trying to put together.
Do we know what Forrester's position was at MLS?
We do not know. He testified in his deposition that he was the worldwide agent for MLS. That's all that we know from the record.
But he could have endorsed the check.
Oh, certainly. He definitely could have endorsed the check had the check made its way back to him. And in fact, I suggest, I mean, that's obviously what would have happened. He clearly did want Shook to have the money. And just as by way of example, this is something that happened to me a couple of months ago. My sister sent me a check to have to buy some Christmas presents for my children. It was made out to my wife and myself. I didn't notice it, endorsed it, deposited it in an ATM machine. I got it back from the bank saying that it wasn't properly endorsed. I had my wife sign it, and then I deposited it again. My sister, you know, never knew that that is, had happened. I suggest the same thing would have happened here. And in fact, this case, the plaintiff keeps asking to go back to the fact finder, but you have to have some evidence to be able to get to the fact finder, and they don't have any evidence of causation here. In this respect, the case is a lot like the Sanwa case, where on appeal, the plaintiff in that case argued to the appellate court, well, if the bank wouldn't have paid the check, then this might have happened, or that might have happened, and the Illinois appellate court said, you don't have any evidence of that. All you have is speculation. You're just coming up with theories, but you have to have some evidence of what might have happened. Since you don't have that, we're affirming summary judgment for the bank. Same principle should apply here. In addition, there's other evidence indicating that MLS was quite content to have for Shook to have the money. By December of 1997, about 6 months after Shook had received the check, it is clear from the records that Forrester and MLS knew that Shook had deposited the check, that Shook had cashed the check. And at that point, did they say to him, is there any evidence that MLS complained you stole our money, we want it back? No, there's nothing like that. On the contrary, the two MLS representatives who testified in deposition, neither one of them said Shook stole our money. They both said that MLS remained obligated under the original loan agreement, that they kept working with Shook. In fact, they kept working with Shook through at least April of 1999 trying to put the business deal together.
Has MLS been sued?
Not to my knowledge, Your Honor.
Is it assetless, or do you have any idea?
I don't have any idea, Your Honor, on that. But in fact, MLS did keep working with Shook, and in the meantime, MLS was arranging for payments to come to the plaintiff periodically.
Was the plaintiff ever informed particularly what these payments are for?
Oh, yeah, she knew that they were payments
they
on...
They were repaying that $250,000?
She testified in her deposition that she knew that these were payments on the $250,000. In fact, I believe this testimony is not in the appendix, but if you look at R52 in the record, page 103 of her deposition, this is volume 1 of our appendix in the district court, in page 103, she admitted that the money that was returned to her was, quote, a repayment of the portion of the money I gave to them. And then later on at page 121 of her deposition, she says, the money that came back to me was a partial payment of the $250,000. So she clearly knew that the money that she was receiving was about $40,000 all told over an 18-month period, that was in repayment on the loan.
She didn't know that from anything that MLS told her, but...
Well, there were two checks that she received, one in December of 1998, and this was after she knew that Shook had deposited the money in his account. And she has admitted in her complaint and in a brief that she knew that as of June 1998. In December 1998, she received a check for about $5,000, and on the bottom of the check, it said MLS loan payment. And she cashed that check. In fact, she cashed that check. She testified at her deposition after consulting with her lawyer, and he said, go ahead and cash the check. In March of 1999, she received another check for about $3,400. Again, the notation on the bottom was MLS loan payment. That one she eventually tried to cash. She didn't cash it right away. She waited until May or June of 2000, which was actually after this lawsuit had even been filed. And at that point, she tried to cash it, and her bank said, this is more than a year old. It's too old. We can't take this. So that one, too, had the notation on it, MLS loan payment. So it's clear from the record that MLS has admitted that it remains obligated under the agreement, that it was working with Shook. The plaintiff has tried to argue that there's evidence that that Shook actually stole the money, and there's no evidence of that at all in the record. The undisputed evidence in the record is that MLS continued to work with Shook on the business transaction and made periodic payments. The only reason that it eventually stopped making payments, as far as we can determine from the record, and the last payment that it sent was in 1999, was that its business dealings just failed at that point. It's a little unclear exactly what happened with respect to MLS's business, but it's clear that at that point they didn't have any money. So,
and the payments kept getting smaller and smaller, isn't it? The last one was $1,000.
The last one was for about $3,400. That's the one she didn't cash. The one before that, in the December 1998 payment, was for $5,000. That was actually the second largest payment. The very first payment she received in October 1997 was for $25,000. That was the biggest one. But then the December 1998.
The last one was for $1,000, but maybe I don't know.
The last one she actually received was the $5,000. There was a $1,000 payment that she received in April or May of 1998, but that was almost a year before she received that final check, which she ended up trying to cash too late. The reason that ultimately MLS was not able to repay the plaintiff was that its business failed, and that was in 1999. It wasn't because of anything that Northern Trust did in 1997. In the end, the plaintiff lost her money because she decided, for whatever reason, to give $250,000 to people she barely knew, and a couple of years later, that company folded. But it wasn't because of anything that Northern Trust did. Northern Trust is not the insurer of its customers' business transactions. Let me talk for a few minutes about ratification, which is the other ground for summary judgment and the other ground on which the district court ruled in our favor. Illinois law on this is quite clear. There's no basis for certification. The Illinois Supreme Court has already spoken on this question, and the rule in Illinois is clear. When a check written to make a loan is allegedly paid improperly, the drawer, the person who writes the check, ratifies the payment of the check by accepting a benefit under the loan agreement after learning of the allegedly improper payment. And that's exactly what we have here. In this case, as I've said, the plaintiff knew by June of 1998, she's admitted she knew that Shook deposited the check in his account. After that, she accepted several payments. There's the one that I haven't mentioned so far that she received after June 1998. Is in September of 1998, Ron Forrester, MLS's agent, sent her three money orders for $1,500, which she cashed. As I said, she also cashed the $5,000 check she received in December of 1998 and then eventually tried to cash the $3,400 check that she received in March of 1999. Under the Illinois Supreme Court decision in SpecCast, that's enough for ratification. In SpecCast, what happened was the plaintiff there accepted only one loan repayment for $589 after learning that the check had been paid improperly. And the Illinois Supreme Court said that's enough for ratification.
That, well, what's the theory of that? That she should have, enabled the bank to cut its losses? Or
The theory for behind the ratification?
Yeah.
The theory is that at that point, she, by accepting a benefit under the loan agreement, she has, in effect, given her stamp of approval to...
Well, it's very artificial, though. I mean, she wants the money. It's understandable. Trickling back the way it is, so she doesn't want to turn it away. So why should that... why should the law penalize her that way? I don't understand.
Well, the Illinois Supreme Court has decided that that's what Illinois law provides.
Yes, I know. And that, is that a reason, or is it just some senseless vestige of...
I don't think it's senseless, Your Honor, because I think that the court is saying, if you do something to honor a written agreement that you have that shows that you have basically accepted that, then you're bound by that, and that constitutes ratification. And as I said, it's quite clear from the Illinois Supreme Court's decision But that's what the rule is in Illinois, and this court is obligated to follow that with respect to ratification. There's no basis, no reason to waste the Illinois Supreme Court's time with having them decide a question on certification that they've already decided. Another Illinois decision that's consistent with this is the Sanwalk case. In that case, what happened there was the plaintiff accepted the benefits of an agreement for a little over a year. The payee eventually became insolvent, and the Illinois Appellate Court said that accepting those benefits under the agreement and following the Supreme Court's direction in Speccast, we hold that that's ratification as a matter of Illinois law, and they affirmed summary judgment for the bank in that case.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Schrader.
Thank you.
Mr. Krisloff, how much time does he have? 4 minutes?
Your Honor's ratification here is ridiculous as well as unfair. The payments that she received were never checked from MLS. One was a transfer to a bank account, which was then transferred to an account. It was like a wire-in from a mysterious sort. She also received $5,000 in cash from a person named Joe Hilliard around Christmas. This is $1,500 in the form of three Albertsons grocery store money orders of $500, $1,000 and...
Well, what did she think these payments were?
She thought that she admitted that they were somebody paying her back on her $250,000. But the question is whether they're paying on the loan or because they're responsible for her $250,000 getting misplaced or getting diverted.
Well, your opponent indicated there was a notation on one of the checks which you cashed that had payment for MSL loan.
Right, but MLS was and is responsible too. It's not to say that the bank's liability frees MLS. There's no question that MLS was negligent as well. This is an issue. What Illinois law says is that the bank can assert common law defenses. That is, that would include reasonableness. That includes, under the circumstances, did the bank act reasonably and did she act reasonably? Faced with abject poverty, you have to feed your kids, or give the checks to the Northern Trust? I mean, what is the rule that she is supposed to do in the circumstance? What is she supposed to do? Is she supposed to say, oh gosh, Mr. Hilliard, thanks for the cash, but here, I can't accept it without freeing the Northern Trust. Or, thanks for the cash, I'll call up one of the Smith family today and I'll pay it over to the Northern. I mean, the fact is, as a practical matter, treating this as ratification would be outrageous. It is not a rule that the Illinois Supreme Court would do. The Illinois law makes distinctions, the commercial code makes distinctions all the time between commercial transactions, which are Sanwalk and Speccast. Those are commercial parties dealing with each other on a regular basis versus consumers dealing with a bank. The fact is the bank acted unconscionably unreasonable. In fact, Judge Norgel held they improperly paid. This isn't a case where, oh, the bank overlooks everything under $1 million. Typically, as the expert testimony was provided, banks make limitations on what they review, but every check above $5,000 to $25,000, depending on the day of the week and the type of the account, every check above that gets looked at. And when this check got looked at, it was obvious. This check also wasn't one that just sort of wandered through the system. This was one presented to a teller at Bank of America. This is one where the banks screwed up massively, and Ms. Caskill is entitled to a recovery, since summary judgment was entered, she was entitled to have this question as to why her money wasn't repaid go to the fact finder, or alternatively sent to the Illinois Supreme Court. If such a draconian rule is to be adopted, and this is an extension, this would be an extension of Sanwalk and Speccast to an individual non-commercial case, it would be inappropriate for this court and ill-advised for this court to take that next step unless the Illinois Supreme Court wanted to do that. We request that the case be reversed or referred. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Krisloff.